Actually, this is before I was coming to the church with Pastor Mike. I had just met Pastor Mike not too long after, right about almost probably within a month or so, a couple months, when I had met Pastor Mike and he had baptized me. But I'll never forget, I went over to Pastor Mike's house at the time, and Tommy was there. And I was going to share my testimony at the youth group at Christian Hills. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, well, we're going to pray for you before you go. And so I'm there, and I think we were in the kitchen, and I was sitting down, and these guys got their hands, you know, laying hands on me, and they're praying in tongues, and I'm like, I think it was probably my first experience ever in an atmosphere like that. I had gotten saved in a Baptist environment and was going to this Presbyterian church, so it was totally different. But I remember both Tommy and Pastor Mike laid their hands on me, and they're praying for me, and it's like, wow, this is pretty weird, but I could feel the Spirit of God. You know, and you know, I knew, like, man, there's more. I need more of Jesus. I need, like, what they're pouring into me. And that was pretty awesome. So that was my first introduction to Tommy, and it's been good ever since. So I'm just so honored to have him here with us today.
Praise your Father.
He's continued to go after God ever all those many years ago, and. It's just awesome to see him, you know, keeping that fire going. So, Pastor Mike, you want to introduce Tommy?
Well, me and Tom go back to when I was 9 years old. We go back to not that far, 9, 10.
I got it in here.
Oh.
I'm going to cover that in a minute. But go ahead.
But the reason I want to speak this is kind of critical, because Tom was the guy that I had a few backslidden years. And Tom was the guy that, like, hunted me down. He had called one of my family members and said, you know, Mike's on my heart. I'm not sure all of what he said, but he'd asked the family member, I want to look him up. And the family member said, don't look him up. He's actually dangerous. He goes from hot to cold in a second. He's not even safe to deal with. And Tommy just figured the Lord had put him on my heart, me on his heart, and so he went and hunted me down. And Tommy had to deal with a lot of things with me. He had to, you know, because Tom had to deal with me. He knew me when I was a session player. He knew me when I was a musician. He knew me when I was, you know, snorting coke and doing all these things. Tom has seen it back in front with me. But in a lot of ways, I credit Tom with being here, because the fact of the matter is, he reached, he knew where I was at, he knew God wanted to deal with me, and he took it that step further. So praise God, he's kind of the reason I'm here, really is. Because at the time Tom looked me up, there was a no return stamp on my forehead. I was not moving anywhere near believers, church, anything spiritual. And Tom was willing to sit with me and to talk to me and to deal with me. And he dealt with a lot. In fact, I roomed with Tom. He taught at Bethel, not when I was attending there, but we roomed together in my early years of redevotion. So Tom saw the best, the last, and the first, and the worst. So Tom, come on up here. I just wanted to give him that special intro.
Praise God. I'm going to build on that preamble ramble. I got one of my own. I'm glad to see the sump pump is here this morning, faithfully standing at ease, but waiting to jump to service if it shouldn't. And the breaker box is here this morning in due diligence of its office. And I'm glad to see the chairs are here. Some of them are laid off, but most of them are working. And that's a good thing. Most importantly, your vessel's unto honor. In a great house, there's many vessels.
Amen.
Jesus went to prepare a place, and he's still building. He did the earth in 6 days, and he's still preparing a place. It's a growing thing. This is all a preamble ramble, like I said. And I want to give God the glory. This is a shout out, first off, to the witness cloud that is here, to Shirley Sapella, to Ron Sapella, to Pat Dabe, to Mary Juarez, to so many others that have gone on. And there is a witness cloud. And with angels and the men, the spirits of men and women, holy men and women made perfect, they're amening what's going on down here, because this is the furtherance of the kingdom of God. See, when a man of God speaks the word of God by the Spirit of God, the power of God is released in the very counsel and the office of God is manifest one heart at a time. And the beauty of that is that's our heritage. Went to a 50-year anniversary of Bethel Pentecostal Church, of the inception of the church, and Reverend Pete Contreras as the pastor, as the founding and senior pastor of Bethel last night. It was great. There was people there. I hadn't seen some of them in 20, 30 years. And they gave me 3 minutes. Uncle Doug, how long does it take to fire a 105 howitzer? Probably about like that. I went off. Jay was there. He bears testimony. Rev was there. Yeah, it was good. I had a wonderful time. And I want to start with this and leave this with you at the end, and I'll fill in the middle. Where is the God of Elijah today? How many of you guys are 42 years old? 42 or more? Okay, a few. I've known Pastor Mike for about 42 years. We go back that far. How many are 32? More hands? 32 or older? Yeah. Yeah, okay. I've known him in the Lord about that long, and give or take. And that is, to God be all the glory. It's a beautiful thing. Some of us, I pray, by the end of this, are either ready to hit the floor or hit the door. Because when the Word of God goes forth, all are drawn, but not all step forward. Some draw back. My prayer is that all would be drawn in. Someone's here today with blood on your hands. You can't wash it off. I'm only going there because God said to. Be at peace, my kindred brother. I love peace, and make no mistake, peace is maintained with a sword. I ran into a young man last night. I hadn't talked to him in over 20 years. At the time back then, I spoke to him about being reconciled with Jesus, and he asked me not to call him again right then because his gay lover was very jealous. By the leading of the Spirit of God, I asked him if I could call him last night, and he said yes. And he knows what he's going to get. And I'm only going there because God said to, be at peace, my kindred brother or sister, because we're in the house of God, and that's where all the junk falls off. I'm going to share some junk with you in a few, but I had the privilege yesterday, Jay touched on it, of sitting with three beautiful young people at Orland Mall, and I'm not looking up right now because I'm trying to stay by the script. Believe me, I'll deviate, but three awesome young people at Orland Mall. I shared a great length with them about Jesus, and one boy, Joey, he's a baller. Kid loves basketball. And you wouldn't have known it. No, he had the build of a baller. And I said, you play basketball? Oh, yeah. His buddy there in a wheelchair. Yeah, man, I play in wheelchair league. It's awesome. You know, if I was still here, you'd see that kid because I'd take him under my arm and bring him up in Jesus. He's going to Parkview. I'm sorry. But, and if this is being broadcast, that's no reflection onto the theological views of New Life Assembly, but you can put it on me. I'm Tom Dabe. Go for it. It's awesome. I'd take them under my arm. I'd bring them up. The onus is on you, church. They're out there. They're out there. That's why some of these chairs aren't working today. But I don't need to run around the world looking for the kingdom of God. I take it with me. My boast is in the Lord. There's going to be two groups of people. I want you guys to close your eyes for a second and visualize this. Wrap yourself around it, and I pray the Spirit of the Lord will make it alive to you. There's going to be two groups of people at the judgment seat of the great white throne. You know, and the great white throne makes the Grand Canyon look small. How do I know that? Ask the Father. Maybe he'll show you. One group will have blood on their foreheads and a kiss on their lips. The other group will have blood on their hands that they can't wash off or hide. You either die with Jesus or you stand with those who killed him. Some have had things happen in their life and you feel like you're no longer worthy. You never were. You never were, so. You know, only in Christ Jesus And no matter what, it's a, oh God, away to righteousness. Oh God, here am I. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, that name that's above every name in heaven and earth. And I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your loving kindness. For while we were yet sinners, Father, you sent the very darling of heaven to pay the ultimate price. Death has a perfect record. Only Christ Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave, and was resurrected and made a way for sons and daughters to enter in to a resurrection life here in an eternity with you, Father, in your great kingdom of heaven. I pray, bless this word and quicken it to hearts and quicken hearts to your word. In Jesus' name. Cool beans. There we go. We'll get to that. Believe me, there is method to all this. And if I had it all on one piece of paper, it would be more confusing to me, so I left it the way it came. I was at a conference last weekend. The Lord gave me this prophetic word, and at the time I knew it was for more than that gathering. It goes like this. I'm the God of eternity, the God of heaven and earth. When I move in my creation, I summon my prophets unto me. I'm bringing in together the generations. We have an obligation, old folks. Yeah, we're them. I cop to it, you know, to raise up another generation, to raise up this next generation. We have an obligation to this generation's sinners, to see them saved, to see them walking in righteousness and holiness. You know, we can coffee clutch till the cows come home, and they're not going to come and knock on our door unless somebody goes there one heart at a time. Awesome stuff. Somebody want to open up and read real quick, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Bible drill. We need to be at peace in the house of the Lord if we're right with God. Amen? There's no turmoil here. There's no struggle or striving here. You know, if you asked God something once and he said no, and you ask him 20 more times, his answer's not going to change. Figure it out, folks. Figure it out. We've all had that argument with the Lord, and only one of us is arguing. God's already settled it.
And the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path.
Rest in the manifest purpose and presence of God and peace of God. That is such a strength. I don't care what's going on. If you can do that right then and there, you're going to be all right. You're going to be more than a conqueror. But if you fret and muddle and, you know, you can fall apart. You know, it's real easy. It's real easy. Just do it yourself. Do it yourself instead of letting him do it. How many of you guys have ever been in court? Or, okay, all right. Or you've at least watched Law and Order on TV or something, right? You know, everybody's, you know, if you're bored, it's on there. Oh, my gosh. When is, you know, okay, so you're watching Law and Order. You know, when you bear testimony, you swear an oath with your hand on the Bible. The liberals haven't gotten rid of that yet. It's relatively harmless, actually, like the words on our money. Anyhow, I want to share my heart with you. And this is by divine design. It really is. You know, me and my wife have been married since 1990. I sat down in church with her last week for the first time in quite a while. I know where she goes when she goes. We've been separated for over 3 years. And I sat in the back hawking for her to walk in. And when she did, I went and sat down next to her. Not in her space, but next to her. And it was a beautiful time for me because there she was. And she was raising her hands, and there were tears streaming down her cheeks. Unfortunately, and she'll sit here with me one of these days because God's promised me total restoration and reconciliation. But the big rift isn't me and her, it's, yeah. And then this will come together. Tears of mourning and tears of lamenting. Mourning for her past and lamenting her present. That's sorrow of the world. There was no godly repenting going on. Because when godly repenting goes on, you're not sitting there with your children 2 hours later smoking blunts of marijuana and drinking beer. Which she was. I went by there to drop off some paperwork to my son, and because we share a job together, which is a good thing. And, you know, it was going on. But that's what people do that aren't serving God. And I understand that. And that's why we're separated. We were having a rocky time at least 10 years back, and I was kind of stagnant in my walk, and I won't even cast the blame on the fact that I couldn't find a kind of church I'd like, something like this or something like where I'm attending now. You know, I wish there was a support. That's neither here nor there. What's a fact is we'd polarized apart, and there was a point where I quit telling her first, "I'm sorry, it's my fault." Whether it was or not, I did that for the first 10 or so years of our marriage because I was really into trying to come together without strife. And there was a point where we just kind of took neutral corners. Wasn't a lot of good communication. There were times we tried on different levels, but there was definitely a polarization. And then out of the blue, this was about 4.5 years ago, she had said randomly a few times in the previous 6 months, "You know what, I'd like to smoke a little pot." And I'd say, "You're crazy. Why are you even going there? That's ridiculous." And she said there was Speedwagon or Rush or one of them old bands was coming to Winston-Salem to a little coliseum there, and her and some of her ladies were going to go to it. And she asked me if she could. Nostalgia. Okay, you saw them 20 years ago. If you really want to, you know. Okay, you know. I didn't feel good about it, but I wasn't going to fight with her about it. And I had a feeling. I went to bed, but I wasn't asleep. And she came in late. And I kissed her on her right hand. And I smelled marijuana. Yeah, I've been down that road a few times. And I said, "You smoked pot." "No, I didn't." "Liar." "Okay, I did." And it wrecked me. It was about 2 weeks later, I called up Pastor Mike. Yeah, we go back that far. And a lot farther. And I said, "Dude, she's smoking pot like a little bit every day." And he said, "Leave, get out of there, go." And I wanted to, but at the same time, I had two boys in high school. And I was trying to hold my marriage and reconcile what was there and what was going crazy. And I didn't know what to do with it. And unfortunately, when you don't make a decision, you already made a decision. And fast forward 4 months, spring break, we made a reservation with our vacation thing we got. She still got it. It's in my name, but I don't want it. She can have it. It's not a big deal. It's only money. And we went down to Myrtle together, and my kids were thoroughly convinced that only one of us was going to come back alive. And in a way, they were right. Neither one of us came back alive because, like a dummy, I said, "Well, this is probably really stupid, but I'm going to jump in after her and see if I can pull her out." And long story short, the next 4 months at the house there was a frat party. Because when we got back from Myrtle, the next day, I walked into my son's room without knocking, and he was cleaning a quarter-pound pot in a box on his bed. And I looked at him, I looked at it, and I said, "Roll up. Let's burn." Yeah, I did that. You know, I used to party my brains out back long, long ago. But that short, from 4 months, four stinking little months of indecision and being paralyzed and not moving. And I was smoking pot with my wife and my kids. And the next four months, it was a frat house. It really was. And I knew it couldn't work. I knew it wouldn't work. And it took 4 months of God kicking my butt to give it up. But by then the horse was way down the road. And I was living in a party house trying to serve God. And I did for like 7-8 months. And I was loathing my wife and where she was. And at the same time, I come to realize, because I wasn't blind, I wasn't paying a lot of attention specifically at all the high-grade marijuana that was floating through there on a daily basis. But I realized that There was a lot of money being spent in that. And at the same time, Mom was crying about, where's the money? Where's the money in the bank? And one of my family members was using the debit card to his own ends. And Mom was happy because there was always pot to smoke. And but you know, I was getting blamed for hundreds and hundreds of dollars going awry. And I don't know nothing. I was busy working and staying distant. Not a safe thing to do. But after several months of that, I looked at the bank statements. I never messed with the bank statements. Why? I let her do it. Then there was no argument. And when you're serving God, that ain't a bad way to go. Delegate and leave it alone. Unfortunately, when things had gone awry, they went very awry. And one of the kids was taking thousands of dollars. And then I did what I know I needed to do, is I took the bank statements and grabbed my youngest son, Jordan, which of the all of them has the most level head on some issues. I said, Jordan, look at these. His eyes got big and his face got red. And I said, can you explain that? I said, yeah, and I did. And he took them and showed them to her because she wasn't looking at him. She was just, you know. And unfortunately, at that point, all the blame shifted on me. And it was only 2 weeks later, and I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. God removed me from the house. But she was blaming me for spending all the money. I wasn't spending all the money. But anyhow, I knew. And God broke that off. It had to happen. It had to happen because I could not live there in that. And I saw it going down the very day it went down, and I knew it was going down. And I'm getting ready to leave to go out of town because I was going out of town to work. Only, you know, 120 miles away, but, you know, I needed some money for going out of town. And she said, I got bills to pay. And I said, I'm going out of town. I need a few hundred dollars. Well, you can go out of town on whatever's in your wallet because I'm going to pay bills. And if there's some that aren't due for a month or so, I'm going to pay them too. I said, be real careful before you press that button because you only get to hit it one time. And she cussed me up one side and down the other and grabbed the phone book and her debit card and ran in the back room. I picked up my keys and I walked out the door. And I went to the grocery store and bought groceries, what I needed, took out $200 on the debit card and filled my truck with gas. I sat there in the parking lot and about 20 minutes my cell phone rang. What did you do with all the money? You stole the money. I stole my money. I brought home $1,100 a week before. And I said, that's a different concept. I stole my money, yeah. Well, I covered my butt. That's what I did, honey. She said, well, don't even think of coming home here tonight. I said, baby, that's the last thing you need to worry about right now. Fast forward. How did I get from there to here? Well, I went to work the next day, and I was mad. Tore up, busted, all of the above. I was a basket case. But I'd committed myself on the long drive out there, and during that, the next, didn't sleep much at night. I'm going to do it, God. I'm done. This is all done. I'm in, all in with you. I got to the motel room that night, sitting there with my Bible on my bed. So God, there's two ways this thing can go. I can jump in with both feet and chase you with a reckless abandon. Or I can go out and get a case of beer and a hooker. And that's I said it laughingly because I knew I wasn't going to do that because I know that's just death fruit. It's fatal. You know, it never works. Can't. Open up to James chapter 1, if you will. I said all that to say, people, let's be bare and naked before God, right where we're at. You know, I messed up. We've all messed up. I'm not excusing messing up. What I'm saying is some have the problem that they never got up and never dusted themselves off. They're still walking and wallowing in mourning the past, lamenting their present, and they won't get over it. Step into God and let Him build you and make you part of the answer instead of part of the problem. While you're part of the problem, you can't fix it. But when God is directing and there's no issues with the servant heart that God has placed within you and you're all on board, guess what? He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. and he's real good at what he does. I love his resume. James chapter 1, let me pick it up at verse 19. I got to get to it first. It's not hiding far. Oh, glory to God. I hope somebody's getting something out of this morning. It rocked me putting it together. It really did. I was blessed when Pastor Mike asked me to speak. Picking it up at verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Not even accidentally. Not even one time out of 100. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. The engrafted word of truth. Engrafted. Contrary, like a wild olive branch put in a domestic olive tree, which is exactly what we are. That parallel was meant Israel and the Gentiles, and it fits quite well. Don't be merely listening to the word and so deceiving yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. I mean, as we allow ourselves to be changed by time in the Word, allow the Word to dwell in us richly, Paul exhorted Timothy. As we read it, as we ponder it, as we sit in awe because God opens it up to us anew, again, like it was the first time we ever saw it, and it's like, wow, that's how long has that been in there? Oh, about 2,000 years. Wow, and it'll hit you new because it's alive. And we let the Spirit of God quicken and refresh. And so, you know, out of our bellies are supposed to flow rivers of living water. Sometimes it's a dull gurgle. Sometimes, what's that swampy smell? Yeah, it ain't flowing. And water that doesn't flow gets funky. Let's face it. You know, we got it renewed daily in the Word that we might know the good and perfect will of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Where is the God of Elijah? Let's turn over here to James chapter 5. This is where the rubber meets the road here, guys. Pick it up at verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise, by all means. Is any one of you sick, Caleb? And I prayed for Caleb today. And I know Caleb's been prayed for a bunch. And people should continue to pray for Caleb until he's healed. Because, I mean, God doesn't want Caleb running around with migraines. I know that. And I know they're pursuing doctors to come to that same end. And, you know, amen to it all. God have your way. Call for the elders of the church to pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. How many of you have ever been healed instantaneously by the Spirit of the Lord? Yeah. Hello. We know it's real. We know it's real. I got documentation. Had hepatitis C. They told me, well, when I knew God healed me, I went back and got tested because Pastor Mike, I've done good. I haven't called him Mikey once from the pulpit. And if I do, that's, blame it on familiarity, not disrespect, please. And yeah, he said, you know what? You need to get documentation on that. You know, I'm not taking anything away from what you said, but you need to get documentation. So I went and had an exam, and they sent me a letter in doctrinese that I couldn't read, and I called them up, and the physician's assistant said, well, basically, Mr. Dave, this time last year, the virus count in your blood was well over 1 million, and now it's so close to zero that we're done here. And I'll send that report on to your specialist. And I said, thank you. They didn't know I never had one appointment with my specialist. Well, I had a different specialist that was more special. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing. We get on here. Here we go. And the prayer offered in faith will make sick people well. The Lord will raise him up. And if he sinned, he will be forgiven. Jesus told the man who was laying there on his mat, you know, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees got bent. Who can forgive sins except God alone? Jesus loved to rile them. I love that. Before Abraham was, I am. Oh, that went over good too. And he said, what's easier to say? Your sins be forgiven or pick up your mat and walk? But so you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Pick up your mat and walk. Got them all tore up. What I'm saying is, what's in here is mondo important to God. We need to keep it right. If there's any sin, how about divesting yourself of it? Leave it down there. Take it to the cross. Leave it right there. We'll pray a prayer of faith. You'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to another. Pray for one another so you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah, here we go. Where's the God of Elijah? Was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Wasn't his idea. He heard God. And it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. No minor worker of miracles there. No. Man of God. Man of God. Mighty man of God. You know what? He wasn't even saved in the New Testament sense. The Spirit of God dwelt on him powerfully and used him intimately because he was a holy man. Absolutely, no question about that. But according, up until the time of John the Baptist, the law was in effect, and no man could be accounted as righteous before God because there was a sin debt that was in the way. And God wanted to reach his creation, but he was blocked by something that man could not reconcile. And it took God in Christ reconciling the world to himself through the death on the cross and the resurrection. Father, in absolute, stark sobriety, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to speak to hearts here this morning. There will be two groups standing before the great white throne of God. One will enter into eternal glory with the Father, prepared from before the foundation of the world. And there's another destiny in the lake of fire. Most churches don't even preach that. They say, well, that's just a lot of fire and brimstone. You're trying to scare people into heaven. No, I'm trying to scare them out of hell. It's real. It's there. Death has a perfect record, guys. A perfect record. Only one overcame death. That was Jesus Christ. You say, well, Elijah and Enoch. Well, no, they never tasted death. They were translated. Jesus, Lazarus, oh, he died and he died again. And he will be resurrected on the last day. Yes, he will. He's alive and right now in heaven going on. Only Jesus, perfect sacrifice, overcame death, hell, and the grave, was vicariously resurrected, and then caught up into heaven because it was finished. The veil was rent. The sin debt was paid. The paving of the way to sons and daughters into the kingdom of God was fulfilled. And those Old Testament saints came up out of their graves. I don't know about that. The Bible says it. Did the body come together? Did the dust and the dry bones actually? Were there people that came out of the grave that had been dead a century or longer? You know, the Bible says dead men rose out of their graves and walked around. It's incredible. Ask God about it. I don't know. There's a few mysteries in the Bible that you'll never know this side of heaven. You know a real good one? This is a sidebar note. What did the seven thunders say in the book of Revelation? John couldn't even write it down. God wouldn't let him. Interesting. I'll leave that alone. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give this back to Pastor Mike. I think in his capable hands, he can bring order to this lovely ramble. And I've had a glorious time. And I thank God for it. Father, I thank you for a finished work. I thank you that there is no more sacrifice for sin, none needed, nor could any be enough. And Lord, we can come to you broken and be absolutely reconciled, Father. I'm asking you. flow forth by your Holy Spirit. Speak to hearts. Quicken this morning, Lord, as only you can, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Have your way, Father. Have your way, Father. Have your way. I used to preach it all the time on the streets. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his eternal soul? Or what should he offer up to God in exchange for his soul? If you say, I can't make up my mind, you already have. Father, have your way in Jesus' mighty name. Wow.
And I'm just going to, I wasn't a rambler, so I don't need to organize that. I wanted Tom to share today, and I've told you part of the story because he was there when I was going down the drain, and he stayed present. Like, guys, if you think I'm caffeinated, you should have seen me at 21. You have no idea. They don't make a medication that can slow that down, not pharmaceutical yet. And Tom dealt with me, and he was there. And then Tom went through a horrible thing, and it's kind of naked what I asked him to share, and I knew that. It's brutal. You know, you love somebody, and Tom taught at the school I went to. Tom has been ordained multiple times. He's been around the block multiple times. He's super old. And, yeah.
And I'll get you.
Only uncle might be a little more ancient. I'm just kidding. These guys are all good. They'll still take me to the woodshed. Both these guys can still do it, too. That's the problem. But I asked him to come today and to share some of the word and to share. The floor is his. And I want it because how did Tom make the decision? This is a hard thing. And I'm saying this. Let it speak to your hearts. You know, love is a beautiful thing. Relationships are a beautiful thing. But it's so heavy. It's so, if you want, it's so heavy, you know, because sometimes that's a hard thing. But I've known two great men that I've admired deeply in my life. And one kind of did a Tom, and he never came back. I'm talking men I looked up to, men that were strong. And then I wanted Tom, I said, Tom, share your story, because there's a divine strength there. There's a strength there. There is strength. God got you out of it, and it was bad. And you kid yourself, you try to exist, and I'm going to do this, and I've been around, I've been saved decades, and I'm good. And when Tom had called me, and it was hard for him to hear, I said, get out of the house, get the boys out of the house if you can immediately. And I know when you're trying to make it work, even when there's narcotic involved, you in your mind, it's not, I don't know whether it sounds harsh or bad, but I knew even when I was talking to Tom, he was having a hard time with that, because he'd been married decades. This thing imploded. The G-force of the one he loved and the children that they bore and the whole thing, it sat upon him. And my prayer is one strength, and that presence is on Tom, and that anointing is on Tom. My prayer is that you're catching, because he rose. I've known several people that have went the way of the dodo in following someone they love to where they're both dead. And I told him even when he called me, I said, Tom, understand something. I'm not telling you to abandon your family. But I said, I'm telling you, if you don't get out of there, you will surely join them. And I knew exactly what would happen when I talked to Tom. But God has brought Tom up and out. Like I said, he's the first guy that had me street preaching with a megaphone. First guy that introduced me to a megaphone. He's the first guy that took me into a psych ward to cast demons out of a guy. And the guy was a mental patient in a rubber room, and he was totally made sane. And I mean verified by a psychiatrist. That's a hard one. They don't verify a lot of people. They only verify that a lot of people are verifiable. So we're gonna take a minute here, and what are you doing with your relationships? And remember, I preach, and this is there, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't try to coordinate this, but I preached about speaking into one another. Remember, was it about a week ago? Uncle, you were gone, I think. And I preached about, you know, speaking the word of the Lord, speaking, encouraging each other, not being used of the enemy, instead to be a help to each other in Christ. And I'm in couples, this is a big thing for us, because I can be the voice of God to my wife, or I can be a drip.
We can. I can be life or death. So we're going to rise, and we just want to pray. And where are you at? And what are you doing? Do you feel stuck? The sad thing in my job is even my brother, and I'm glad he called me because we've known each other since I was 9 years old. He's been my inspiration in the faith. The guy was never afraid. There was not a street he wouldn't preach on. He took me up to 95th in Houston. We've been slapped around. Me and Tom got a lot of amazing history together. And I'm just praying that God speaks, because so many times that I wanted this raw story he did, and I wanted the deliverance that God gave him, because it's miraculous. And we're getting a few years in the rearview mirror. So finally I said, hey, Tom, would you come and share with us? You came out of that, and that caught you. Even a guy that I always looked up to, that I knew was a strong guy. Tommy's one of these guys, no compromise. You want Tom to compromise, seriously, he'd give you walking papers in 3.2 seconds. And the Lord spoke to me and just said, you have him share this. Have him share some scripture. Let it be known, this power of God that it pulls us out of this. So as we pray now, because enough said, let's ask the Spirit of God, if you need freedom, we're going to pray that you get it. If you are having a hard time, you feel overwhelmed like he did, there is prayer that you can get. And this is so critical, because it's interesting, because as a pastor of some years, I have watched this show more than one time. And it's a deadly show. Many times I will deal with people, whether it's their friends, whether it's their family, whether it's their spouse or brothers and sisters, and they will feel the need to cater to their fallenness. And I tell them, you're not going to reach them by going into that mess. You won't. It doesn't work. If you dumb down your walk to walk carnally, you will only end up carnal. You will not end up reaching them. Tommy's the one guy in the room that's been with me decades that can say, Pastor Mike has talked this for a long time.
That's true.
So as we pray and there is a need, we want to lay it. And Uncle, I know you're stepping up there for a reason.
Just before we pray, somebody's in here. I know Friday morning, this was just come from a great convention. It's kind of like a, hug each other, take communion together, rah-rah kind of time. Well, something real significant happened. We have a new national coordinator in the FCA. Brother Heckman stepped down, and Brother John Sprecher took his place. And in that lovely service, there was the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. There were two messages in tongues and interpretation. I hadn't heard that in the FCA convention since I've been going to the FCA years. But that happened on Friday. There was some prophetic praying. So our new leader, and they've changed the name to the lead elder in the FCA.
That's good.
Okay? Now
that's good.
He gets up there, and the first thing he says is, and this is what ministered to me, okay? He quoted James chapter 5. Just what you shared with him.
Wow.
He said, confess your faults one to another.
That's right.
You might be healed.
That's powerful.
Sprecher talked about a time when he came home from one of these conventions, and when he got home to his church, his board asked him, Pastor, would you resign, please? And what he was confessing up there at the pulpit was, here I thought it was the perfect pastor. And here the elders, the board in my church, is asking me, would you please resign? So he said he went through a really, really tough time. Any of us would. Any of us here would.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ministry. Yeah.
Absolutely.
People that you pour out your life into. And Brother Sprecher has been at that church a long time. Right? So if you ever go up there to Rock Church, it's a beautiful facility. I mean, he's done a great job. And so he went through this tough time. But he was there that day. And, of course, the new pastor's there. comes out of Rockford, was saved, discipled, raised up in ministry right there in that church, under Brother Sprecher's ministry, right? Yep. And so he spoke to the new pastor and staff and asked them, please forgive me for what I felt, and I want to compliment you on what I've seen you do, what I've heard you do. And so here was the new leader of the FCA, mm-hmm. blazing a trail for us pastors and ministers. Mm. You know, because we have to conduct ministry like, you know, we're perfect. You know, if there's anybody who needs prayer, we don't need prayer. Matter of fact, Anthony has heard somebody in this fellowship say, you know, you don't have to pray for Uncle and Auntie because they got it all together. So I appreciate my brother Tom coming up here and actually doing James chapter 5. He actually did what he read. He did the word in front of you today. Right? And so there are some of you in here that you aren't going to be healed. You are not going to move on in God until you confess your faults, the things that you've done wrong, the areas where you failed. Now, here's our brother Tom. He's wide open. I mean, he did it in public. I think even Pastor Jay recorded what he said, right? Right? And so I recommend that you don't go in to confess to a gossip who's just going to spread your dirt around.
That's right.
That you go to somebody that you trust, you know,
right.
somebody that God
That's
is
good.
Leading
That's
you
wisdom.
To.
That's right.
That's good.
And you confess. You take off your mask. You take off the facade. Mm. And you tell them, here's a place where I'm hurting. I don't know why I said, I don't know why I did what I did, but I want to be healed. I want that part of me, that time in my life, I want it to be over so I can go on in the Lord. We've come to the place, I know I have, where enough is enough. No more pretending. You know, God is just laying it, myself, my soul, open and bare to me. And in many ways, I am trying to do the book of James rather than just hear it.
That's right.
Rather than just preach it and teach it.
Behold the word.
God's telling me,
take it.
Son, unless you get out there and do it, doesn't mean anything. Doesn't amount to anything. So those of you in here today, listen. Listen to what Uncle said. But there was Brother Sprecher standing up and being an example of the believer to this minister. And I'm grateful for that. And our brother Tom, he just stood up in front of us.
I didn't really preach that.
And under
today.
The leading
I wasn't
of
there.
The Lord.
You know, that's God.
Under
that's
the leading
God.
Of the Lord. He did the word of God. You know, he didn't have to tell us the things that happened in his life. Right? He could have come up here and chosen all kinds of other passages and given us the rah-rah nice stories in his life. Right?
Right. That's right.
But no, instead he did the word. Confess what was going on in his life. And I believe because he did it, one thing that our brother Tom is going to leave with here today is a healing. Right? It's a setting
that.
Free.
Amen.
Chains
That's
broken
right.
off.
Right.
And now he can go on, get strong, be even more fruitful and effective in the kingdom of God. And that's what the Father wants you to do now that the word's been spoken to you. So let's be real sensitive. Everybody close your eyes. And let's listen to our pastor under the leading of the Spirit. And let's all of us, Uncle Doug included, let's follow his direction as he leads us.
Father, I thank you for verification, for confirmation. And I remember some years ago when a phone call and it ministered to Tom, and I remember talking to him, and he said, I'm back now, and he ran this down to me, and there's power in it, God. I've seen his life excel as a man of God. I've seen the works of the kingdom and evangelism go forth. Lord, he is believing for healing, and I really believe when we throw that out to the body, I think there's a strength in it. I think there's a power in it. I think, Lord, there's a message that his life brought forth today, and I've sensed that so strong. There's a message. There's a message in that. There's a message. And Lord, I thank you that it was verified. And even about Pastor Sprecher, I was not at Friday's meeting. It's powerful to hear the same passage comes up and the same kind of nobility and honesty. Lord, we pray today, it is so critical that we come forth, God, confess our faults one to another. Lord, I love what Uncle said. I love what my best buddy here, Tom, said, that we find people that we do trust. That, Lord, that's important. Lord, we believe in the scripture, and Lord, there's so many areas you want to make well. There's so many areas you want to give resurrection power to. Father, Tom's been an example, even in restoration, and I've watched his life. It's been an example. His openness has been an example. In fact, Lord, I think I've told him a couple times, you're too open. But the fact is, that's exactly how you've made him. I thank you for that, God. Lord, we do say a prayer for his family situation, yes, because he's not shy about sharing the current state or what needs to happen. Lord, a lot of people would come up and tell him to shut it, that he doesn't need that no more, that it's all good. That's not the stance he's taken. You gave him a word of restoration. You gave him a word that you would return. We stand with him on that, Father. We stand with him, that you would continue. Lord, the faith that is in him. I thank you for that healing, because I remember that's an amazing thing. Lord, hep C does not go anywhere. It's not like that. The nature, not when you're, especially when you're a million bits in your blood test. You did that work, Father. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for these inner workings, every soul here, every life here. We need you, Lord, in our families. We need you in our time. And I just pray healing. In the name of Jesus. Let us hear testimonies, Lord. Stuff eats at us. It does. It lays on us. It does. Father, I can only imagine people get isolated. They won't talk. And it's hard. It's got to be a very difficult place to be. But we pray divine healing on lives, on homes, on relationships, brothers and sisters, friends, buddies, husbands and wives, wives and husbands. Lord, I don't know if I'm mentioning every human dynamic of relationship, but as we go today, we're believing you that your power is at work. And I want to thank you, Lord, for my brother here. Lord, he's been an ally of mine for a lot of years. I thank you for what he taught today out of James. So true. Let us be doers of the word, not just hearers. We don't want to delude ourselves. Help us to be workers with pure conscience, Father, and bring us to the place we need to be. And we're believing. Again, there is a miracle here today. There is a miracle tomorrow for us, and we're believing for that. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus.
Yes. And the congregation said,
amen. Amen.
Real quick, before we roll out of here, guys, I just want to say, too, because...